Very pleasant good morning to you, and welcome to the Wayne McLean Talk Show. Today we talk about an issue that has been much in the news. David Peterson wants tougher laws to stop it, or at best restrict it. London, the city of London, wants bylaws to regulate its cellars. Women's groups across the country want it banned. And the federal government has sent forth a committee to find out more about it. But it seems to me that no one has been able, at this point at least, to define it. We're talking about pornography. Yesterday, the federal government's Committee on Prostitution and Pornography was in London, hearing testimony from women's groups, church groups, and other concerned Canadians. What we'd like to find out from you this morning is this. Do you believe that pornography is a major problem in London and in Canada? Is it one, in your view, that warrants the federal government sending of a blue ribbon committee to cross the land to find out how we feel, and spending thousands and thousands of tax dollars? Is it so big of a problem in London that London City Council has to spend time discussing it? Is it so big of a problem as to justify countless demonstrations and thousands of hours of protest by women's groups and church groups attempting to bring an end to it, including such things as Playboy TV and other girly magazines? Certainly there can be no question that society will not tolerate kiddie porn or scenes of mutilation and extreme bondage. Joining me today in the studio, CFPL newsman John Bowles. John attended the committee hearings yesterday in London. We'll find out what his thoughts and impressions were in just a few moments. Also, coming up, we'll be chatting with Dr. Gail Hutchinson from the London Status of Women Action Group, who says it's hate literature. We'll also talk to London businessman and publisher Mark Emery, who operates a downtown bookstore and who offered a $500 reward to anyone who could find a mutilation or kiddie porn publication in this city. Also on the live line, we'll be chatting with the leader of the Ontario Liberal Party here in the province of Ontario, David Peterson. My telephone number is 433-3121. And if you're out of town, we invite you to call the operator and place a collect call. Once again, it's 433-3121. We're talking about pornography this morning, and we're asking you if you feel pornography is a major problem in London and in Canada. Another question that we'd like to ask in connection with this particular subject, and it was a line in one of the press reports that I read earlier this morning, and this is one that gets us into different aspects of this very important and timely subject. Do sexually explicit materials, and I'm referring to things like video cassettes, girly magazines, books that describe various activities of a sexual nature, as well as table dancers, because that's an activity that's received a lot of publicity as well. Do sexually explicit materials have a place in open society? 433-3121 is the number. When we come back, we'll be chatting with John Bowles, and then we'll be speaking with Dr. Gail Hutchinson. Dr. Hutchinson, I want to bring into our discussion now on another live line Mark Emery, who was certainly putting out views yesterday that were contrary to some of the points you were mentioning, particularly this idea of censorship. He also offered this $500 reward to anyone who could find, Mark, it was a mutilation or kiddie porn publication. Was that the idea?
Any photo representations of children being sexually exploited, animals being sexually used, or women's bodies being mutilated or cut. Of course, I offered that because I know those things don't exist in the city, and yet the feminists like Mrs. Hutchinson have been constantly using the so-called concern for the abuse of our women and children in their hysterical remarks about censorship and pornography as sort of a cover to justify their, basically, they want to ban anything to do with sexual representation.
Are you suggesting that women's groups, such as the one that Dr. Hutchinson represents and is with, are exaggerating?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. One thing we have to look at is that 40 million North Americans regularly buy sexually explicit material. In fact, Mrs. Hutchinson's own recent statement says it's a $10 billion industry, which, believe it or not, between 150 million North American adults breaks down to $70 a year. And that's like at least a subscription to Playboy and Penthouse each. Now, that's been going on for the last 10 years, and yet violent crime in Ontario particularly has only increased proportionate to the population. And in the last year, it's been down considerably, and particularly rape in Ontario is down, and in Toronto is down 38% last year. So if this material is really as effective as she says it is, then we would all be drooling, slobbering, violent idiots running about the street. I mean, I said yesterday that the crime rate would be 10, probably 100 times higher if we believe their rhetoric. But in fact, what has become obvious is that people are intelligent. The mind exists.
But Dr. Hutchinson is talking as well, I believe, about attitudes. She's talking about the prevalence of an existing structure as well, or the existence of certain satisfaction. Is there nothing to be said for that rationale?
Let me say that most times when you find abuse of women and children in court, and any attorney in London will tell you this, it is almost always related to a person's past or earlier behavior and alcohol. You'll rarely see that pornography was introduced as evidence in court as having any influence whatsoever on a person's behavior when it comes to dealing with a close relative like a woman or one of their children. Secondly, the studies she cites that prove these things have been really refuted numbers of times by endless number of people, including a study I gave out at the committee yesterday by the Associate Dean of Philosophy at Western, an associate of Ms. Hutchinson's, who looked at those studies and said that the feminists have distorted them, taken what they want out of them, and ignored the recommendations by Neil Malmuth, for example, that said sex is basically benign.
Let me ask Dr. Hutchinson for a response to some of these things, because they seem to fly in the face of some of your points. Dr. Hutchinson, what do you say to that?
I never said sex wasn't benign. That wasn't the issue that we've been talking about. And this is what keeps getting distorted. That one paper by one philosopher at Western hardly refutes the massive amounts of data, and I'm much more qualified to speak about it, being a psychologist, that is available to us. The top researchers, the top people in all the social science fields say very clearly that this stuff incites violence.
But where is the violence?
And the violence is there. I mean, level of reported rates have nothing to do with rapes that are occurring. The level of battering in this society, we're barely getting a handle on the amount that's there. The amount of incest, child abuse is incredible in our culture. And what I find particularly offensive, to deny those statistics, to deny what is happening to women, and to deny the level of violence that they live with every day.
The statistics show the crime is going down and increases only proportionate to the population. You're making up statistics.
Making up statistics. There's lots of evidence that reported rapes have nothing to do with actual rapes that occur.
Well, so
and that battering, that the statistics are coming out very strongly about the amount of that. 1 in 10 women in a relationship in Canada is being battered.
So do you...
And you keep, in all your publications, denying this kind of evidence, and I find that quite appalling.
See, I think you're trivializing
the rights and to deny what the experiences...
Make your point, Mark?
I think Ms. Hutchinson is trivializing the terrible experiences women and children go through in incestuous behavior of another or being battered. I think she trivializes it by bringing in the people who have nothing to do with this, who are reading this material peacefully, and making them victims and blaming them for this situation rather than concentrating on the real problem, which is dealing with the real criminal, the person who's committing a violent act.
The real problem in our culture is sexism. The real problem is that women are not considered human beings.
Hold on, who doesn't consider them human beings?
Pornography contributes to that. That is the real basis of battering, if you knew anything about it, and that's the real basis of rape and incest.
Well,
and all I said was that pornography contributes very heavily to those kinds of attitudes, those kinds of opinions about women, and there's no one with any logic who could say anything else when they see those kinds of publications that talk about women as being less than human beings. And those are the reasons for battering, not, as you said, alcohol that has been irrevocably refuted And I think that you are aware of that, being a person as well-read as you ought to be. And I think that it's appalling that you say the kinds of things you are and perpetuate these myths that are really damaging to all of us.
They're not damaging to most of the people I know, and
they're
certainly encourage Mr. McLean to contact...
children that suffer this kind of violence, the kind of thing that we have been working so much on. And how can we work on those issues and not work on the material, a major form of material in our culture that promotes them as being okay?
Let me jump in here for a moment, because I know, Dr. Hutchinson, you have to run, and I wanted to ask you about Mark Emery's offer here. Again, Mark is an operator of a downtown bookstore. He's also a publisher. He's offered a reward of $500. Do you have...
question. I agree that the police have picked up child porn and bestiality. That is not the issue that has been in the city, and they certainly do, if they find it, will pick it up.
Okay, do you have in your possession at all, in the research that you've done, a kiddie porn publication or a bestiality or mutilation publication?
Well, we do have them, yes. I mean, ones that the police have confiscated.
Why don't you take Mark Emery up on his reward?
Well, no. I think he's saying finding it in a store.
Yeah, it has to be in a store.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you haven't found that to be the case?
The police have found that to be the case.
No, they haven't. It's never been found in London. It's never been in the courts.
I think you should check with the police on that, because they have lots of it. Lots of it.
They didn't get it from London.
Well, they did get it from London.
No,
I think that you ought to check with them, because we saw it there, and they picked it up in London.
Totally untrue. They picked it up in a private person's home, possibly, but
they
it's never been sold.
Child porn magazines that we saw
in a retail outlet.
With bestiality.
Did they find this in a retail outlet?
They found it in London.
But did they find it in a retail outlet? You're saying that we're being flooded in the stores and in corner variety stores by this material, but they didn't find it there. If you talk to the police, they found it
you
in somebody's home.
You heard what I said we were flooded with. You heard the kinds of things I said we were flooded with. The kinds
Violent.
Let me hear the comment here.
Yeah.
What was that comment, Dr. Hutchinson?
I've already gone over this several times, and I about the kind of material that we find everywhere, and that's the kind of thing we're focusing on. This other kind of material is there, and we mention it. There's a large underground market at it. It has been found in the city, but that's not the major point that we've been raising.
Dr. Hutchinson, thank you very much for your time this morning. We appreciate your being with us today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And Mark Emery, thank you very much for taking the time as well.
Okay, Wayne.
Bye-bye now. All righty, let's go back to the calls. Thanks for waiting, Bob. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Wayne.
Hi.
Wayne, I called up this morning. I really have to clear up a few misunderstandings made about some points of view that were expressed. I addressed the Committee on Pornography and Prostitution yesterday at the Holiday Inn. And from hearing some of your callers describe our point of view, I was speaking on behalf of the Freedom Party of Ontario, I certainly can't understand how they possibly got some of the opinions that they have. One of your callers was pointed out correctly, I agree, freedom goes hand in hand with responsibility. No one ever said anything about taking away responsibility from anyone, or that there's no responsibility involved with freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Part and parcel of the word. Responsibility is part of the definition of freedom. And responsibility relates to action, not to thought. You know, everybody's there talking about, well, we should be responsible to each other. I don't have to be responsible to anyone for what I think. And if they think that they have some right to my mind, I'd like to hear their case presented before me where I could defend myself. They certainly have every right, and I have every responsibility to watch my actions in terms of how I may relate to them.
Yeah, but you get into arguing about how many devils can dance on the head of a pin, though, because there's such a fine line between thought and action. Sometimes you think about something, as you know, nothing happens. Other times you do, and something does happen. But I think sometimes, too, Bob, there's a perception.
But Wayne, the fine line between thought and action is the action itself. It's not a fine line. It's pretty definite. A person can be sitting in a chair, and you can look at him, and you have no way of knowing what he's thinking, but you never have any problem knowing how he's acting.
Sure.
And I heard you had a caller that mentioned something about Christians do not despise capitalism or freedom. And she mentioned that she didn't hear anyone screaming about the census or seatbelts. Well, as you well know, I've been screaming about the census and seatbelts for quite
some time. I know. I can hear you from here.
That's right. And I don't know why she wasn't aware of this. What I would have liked to have asked her was, where was she when the way was being railroaded out of town?
Mm-hmm.
I spoke out in favor of that, against that as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing that people do not understand that their freedom to practice religion or that their freedom to practice whatever they believe is part and parcel of other people's freedom to practice what they believe.
Yeah, but let's get into pornography, though, because we're going around and around the barn here.
Well, I think pornography is the circle, and the thing in the center of the circle is our freedom of choice. Pornography is not an issue in this town. The only reason it's an issue is because some people happen to be offended by it.
Yeah, but there's reason for offense, isn't there? For some of this stuff, and I just talked to a caller from Dutton that I thought raised some good points.
She has every right to be offended. She has every right to believe what she wants to believe.
And do you want to see kiddie porn sold? I mean, do you really want to see it sold? And
kiddie porn, first of all, is not the problem that it's being presented to be. Second of all, the proper way to deal with it is not censorship. Stopping you and I from seeing it will not stop kiddie porn. Kiddie porn has to be stopped at its source. Kiddie porn is a criminal activity. In the same way as if I went out in the street and started shooting people and you took pictures of it, you aren't the person that should be arrested. I'm the person that should be arrested.
Yeah, but I see a fundamental contradiction in logic here.
The
contradiction is you're talking about stopping it at the source, and I don't think anybody's going to disagree with you on that point. But the problem is that hasn't happened. So do you say, oh, gee, we can't stop it at the source, therefore we won't try to stop it at the point of distribution? And I think it's got to be stopped at the point of distribution, even notwithstanding the ability to stop it at the source.
Well, certainly, but you're not talking about censorship. You're not talking about passing laws against everyone as to what they can see. You know, snuff films, there's a very popular form of snuff film that I'm sure everyone's seen that's broadcast on CBC quite regularly. And it's when the Nazis during World War II lined up all of Jews in front of open graves and shot them and shoved them into the grave.
Yeah, well,
that isn't a snuff film. I don't know what is.
We're getting off of the point. I think you're mixing bananas and cables here. But let me talk to you about the existence of pornography in London.
Okay.
Do you feel it's a problem or not?
The problem that exists is that some people don't like what other people are reading.
Mm-hmm.
The problem isn't the pornography itself. You know, pornography, let's look at the word itself. Erotica is what you like. Pornography is what someone else likes and you don't. You know, Alex Comfort, who wrote The Joy of Sex, it was a very popular sex manual, I guess you would call it. He defined pornography quite accurately. He said, any sexual literature someone is trying to suppress, and you know, I would even expand it by omitting a word from that definition. I'd say any literature that someone is trying to suppress, which is exactly what the women's groups are doing. They're just calling anything they disagree with pornography. 20 years ago, Playboy magazine was pornography. 10 years ago, it wasn't. Now it is again. It depends on who is active in trying to suppress something.
There seems to be, though, a feeling of anger, you know, and I don't think it's coming from just one group, a women's group, but it seems to be prevalent in my mind.
Well,
maybe I'm wrong.
Well, you're absolutely right. The whole movements are based on anger and on like they literally go out and promote their supporters to get angry. That anger is the one thing.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about, though. See, I'm talking about among people generally, and this is just my point of view, and I could be wrong.
Well,
but I think people are fed up with certain kinds of porn.
Well,
I don't think
people are fed up with certain kinds of politics. You know, I can pick up the London Free Press any day and be offended by certain things that I read in it, but I'd never ask anyone if they couldn't read it. You know, the funny thing is, a great word I hear used, dignity. You know, oh, we got to do something about the dignity of humanity. People don't seem to realize that the only thing that makes a human being dignified is having his freedom of choice. Look in any country where the freedom of choice is denied and tell me that those people can be regarded as dignified.
Hmm.
Same with morality. Morality only has to do with making choices. If you can't make a choice and you don't have the freedom to do it, you don't even have the opportunity to be moral.
Well, according to your point of view, as you see the world and the universe, but I think what people are saying, unless I'm reading them wrong, I think people are saying we don't want this stuff anymore. We're tired of it.
But they don't have it. What they're saying is they don't want the other people who are reading it not to have it. They're going beyond their legally permitted sphere of activity. They're going into the activities of other people's lives. And you know, it's the funniest thing. Who is it? The feminists themselves are now finding themselves subject to censorship by the censor board, as you're well aware. And they act like, oh, hey, We're surprised. What's going on here? How come all of a sudden what we want to say is being censored? It's this oblivious attitude, to this ignorance of what censorship will always lead to. You know?
As you understand it.
As I know it, Wayne.
Oh.
I studied this. I don't give a care about what people think about pornography or what they think about violence in movies or anything like that. You know, you want to talk about rape. You know, the biggest rape publications that include rape in part of their fantasy sequences are books aimed at women. All those historical romances. What do they think? Secret Sins and Beyond Surrender, Scarlet Woman, Royal Slave, Rage and Desire, Fortune's Fugitive. These are titles of books aimed at a largely female audience, and they buy them up in droves. And I don't hear anyone complaining about those, because the level of fantasy that occur in those are much higher than anything in visual pornography.
I'd like to throw that out in the remaining moments, and again, you have an interesting interpretation of it. Bob, I'm going to have to leave it there.
Sure,
thank you for the call.
Okay.